The motions are just mine and Kev, or mine and Brian's. So, Kevin, I guess you're just along for the ride here. Well, let's go ahead and open the meeting. It's Wednesday, March 9th, 2011, 10 a.m. The North Dakota Public Service Commission. We have our regular biweekly scheduled meeting. This is Commission Chair Tony Clark. I am calling in via phone from Washington, D.C., and joining me either telephonically or in person in Bismarck are my fellow commissioners, Brian Kalk and Kevin Kramer, and I would turn it over to them for opening comments.
I have none. Just thank you for coming today.
Just good morning, and I'm calling in from Washington as well. I mean Disney World.
With that, there are a number of items on consent. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Moving to item TC1, I move the commission deem the application complete, conditioned upon filing of final transmission structure locations 1 week prior to the hearing, and issue a notice of filing and a notice of hearing in the application of Montana Dakota Utility Company for waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit to construct approximately 30 miles of 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities in McIntosh and Dickey counties of North Dakota, case number PU-10-164.
Second.
The this particular notice of hearing will set the hearing for April 15th at 10 a.m. at Teddy's Grill in Edgeley, which the commission has become acquainted with because we've had other, at least one other hearing there lately. And this is a 30-mile 230 kV line, which basically will run from the area of proposed wind farms to the existing Ellendale substation in southeast North Dakota. I don't know if these are laying out on the table or not, but maps are available. This is basically proposed to interconnect at the Maricourt substation, and Maricourt is a proposed wind farm project being developed by Anexco, presently pending before the commission, and it would be for power to serve into the Midwest ISO, and probably most specifically Xcel Energy, who is developing it, but of course under federal rules regarding transmission access, MDU will be the transmission owner constructing this particular section of line.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 TC2, I move the commission acknowledge the letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 2 months, and assess a filing fee of $80,000 due upon filing an application in case number PU-11-57, Elite Inc.'s proposed 105-megawatt Bison II wind project in Oliver and Morton counties of North Dakota.
Second.
This is not a surprise, but it is one that the commission rather has known will be coming for some time. The Bison wind farm in Oliver and Morton counties is one that's being constructed in stages. Specifically, this stage for Bison 2 is a 105-megawatt project located near the existing project in that part of the state. The Minnesota Power estimates that the 105-megawatt project will cost approximately $160 million. This, again, is just the letter of intent stage, and we would expect that an application is probably going to follow at some point in the near term.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
TC3, I move the commission acknowledge a letter of intent, shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and citing application to 3 months, and assess filing fee of $90,000 due upon filing an application fee in case number PU-11-69, Meadowlark Wind 1, LLC's proposed 99-megawatt wind energy conversion facility at McHenry County, North Dakota.
Second.
This is a letter of intent, again, application for a company that would be their first project located here in North Dakota. They are the proposed project is, as I indicated, a wind facility with a footprint of about 13,000 privately owned acres in McHenry County, North Dakota. It would potentially have a associated transmission line with it, although a 115 transmission line. This would be for power delivered to the MISO or potentially to WAPA, as well as indicated in their letter of intent. The total approximate cost of the project is projected to be $180 million. And again, I believe there should be some information that that is laid out on the table with regard to that.
The only thing that I would add in this is that it looks like there's a potential of either 55 1.8 megawatt turbines or a 33 megawatt turbines. So I think that's the first time we've seen 3 megawatt turbines. So this will be interesting to see how it all unfolds.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item TC4 has been withdrawn. We'll move to TC5. I move the commission issue an order reinstating warehouse license number 1063 of Flasher Farmers Union Grain and Oil at their Flasher, North Dakota warehouse effective March 2, 2011 in case number GE-11-50.
Second.
In this case, the commission had received notice that the bond was going to expire on March 2nd, and in the event that the bond was not replaced, then the license would have been given up. It was instead suspended for some period of time, and we have now received the bond reissuance, and so the it remains in full force and effect, and their license is still valid.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And finally, TC6, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE-11-75, canceling warehouse license number 1134, issued to Crete Grain Company, Inc. at Oaks, North Dakota, and ordering the business at Oaks, North Dakota is discontinued effective immediately.
Second.
This is a facility that had previously been sold to Columbia Grain, although there was some bunker storage which continued to be licensed under Crete, and that now has been discontinued.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio. Commissioner Kalk.
Good morning. Item BK1. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utility Company's application for authority to recover costs related to the manufacturing gas plant remediation work completed in the southeast corner of the intersection of South 10th Street and East Front Avenue in the city of Bismarck, North Dakota, case number PU10589.
Second.
On September 17th of 2010, MDU filed an application to recover $907,773 related to manufacturing gas plant remediation work completed in the area of southeast Bismarck. Initially, they wanted to recover this over a five-year period, but after discussion with commission staff, they've requested to extend that out to a 10-year period. So we'll be looking at several issues in this potential case. Comments and requests for hearing must be received to the commission by April 27th, 2011. And at that time, if there is no request for hearing, we'll perhaps schedule one of our own and decide the case accordingly.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Item BK2. I move the commission adopt the order granting Quest Corporation's request for a block of 10,000 numbers in the Fargo Rate Center, case number PU1165.
Second.
On February 8th of this year, Quest submitted an application to NuStar Pooling Administration System, known as NuStar, the North Dakota Number Pooling Administrator, for additional numbers requesting a 10,000 block in the Fargo Rate Center area. NuStar denied the request for additional numbering resources because the company did not meet the FCC's months to exhaust requirement. Under FCC rules, state commissions may grant a waiver of the FCC rules and grant requests for additional number resources when there is a demonstrated verifiable need. So the company then requested us to look at it. We basically reviewed all the information in support of their application. Quest submitted trade secret information. Our folks reviewed it. I think it's appropriate. Quest indicated that they currently have no clean block of 10,000 numbers that meets their requirement, and that the if this motion is approved, they'll use all the numbers except for 1,700 of those, and they'll return those back to the block. So I think this is very appropriate.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 And that concludes the items in my portfolio.
Thank you. And that concludes the items on the agenda today. Other meetings are listed in our announcement section of the announcements. And our next commission meeting, regularly scheduled meeting, is the 23rd. We will be holding a periodic information exchange meeting with Montana Dakota Utilities on Wednesday, March 16th. I would just note for the record that Charlene has authority to sign my signature to orders approved at the meeting today.
And I would note as well that Esther has the same authority with regard to my signature and orders. And then maybe one point of clarification, because if I heard it right, I just want to be sure we're clear. With regard to three megawatt turbines, I do know that the second half of Bison 1, and then I do believe Bison 2 as well intends to use 3 megawatt turbines. So I think that was there was some reference to 3 megawatt turbines. I just want to make sure that was clear.
That's correct. They're certainly on the cutting edge, though. It's
yes, they are.
With that, are there any questions?
Yes, about BK1, the item about this manufactured gas plant cost recovery. You said the amount is about $908,000 rounded up. And how much, and who would it affect MDU's entire customer base or just customers in Bismarck?
The entire base of that receives natural gas, so roughly 90,000 customers.
Okay.
And so if you pencil that out, it's about 4 cents a month over a 10-year period. If it's approved the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah, this wouldn't be the first time that the commission has dealt with these issues, Dave. I think back, and I don't know if I may be the only one that was on the commission when this case went through. Feels like it was early in my first term, but XL Energy, you may recall, had a manufactured gas plant in Grand Forks, and as a result of flood cleanup efforts, there was some environmental remediation that was required when they started detecting chemicals and things like that from the old legacy plant that was a predecessor to Northern States Power. And this happens around the country from time to time. I don't know all the specifics about this, but remediation work at old manufactured gas plants is not it's not unique to just MDU.
So basically we'll just wait to see if we get comments and we'll see how that date comes and goes.
Okay. In terms of the Meadowlark, just so I'm clear about Meadowlark Wind, their intent is to put the power on the grid? Did I hear you correctly?
No, they didn't specify a particular buyer. What they indicated was that it could be for delivery to the terminology in their letter of intent is either the Midwest ISO or Western Area Power Administration. WAPA is not within the market. MISO is the market. So to me, that indicates that they probably don't know yet, or at least leaving the options open.
And I know you're not in the office, Tony, but what is your current wind capacity in North Dakota? What's on the board? Do you know those numbers offhand?
You know, the latest report that I've seen, which detailed the end of 2010, was just over 1,400 megawatts. I'd have to ask Jerry if he has a number that's specifically different than that, but often when we use apples-to-apples comparisons, what we'll use is the figures from the American Wind Energy Association. They recently put out a report that had North Dakota at just over 1,400 megawatts, and it's roughly what we have listed on ours as well, which still kept North Dakota within the top 10 states. I think we were number 8.
And do you expect wind applications, is it going to slow down or are we going to speed up or what do you think through the rest of the year?
The interesting thing is we keep talking about a slowdown in wind, and there, relative to where we were in 2009, there was a slowdown. Now, 2009 was an extraordinary year when we had something like 600 or 700 megawatts come on in 1 year. It was more than all the other years combined. 2010, we had less than that. There were several hundred megawatts that came online, which was a drop, but only a drop relative to an extraordinary year. It was actually our second or third largest year as far as wind additions. We continue to get applications that come in. What has happened, if to the degree that there's a slackening from the really large year that we experienced, is that there's just not as much need for power in the marketplace generally, and that's not specific to wind. It's other resources as well. So utility companies have backed off their resource purchases nationwide. It's my understanding that demand for power is not expected to rise to 2007 or 8 levels until we hit 2013 or 14, and that's because of the recession nationwide. So it gives you an idea of just how much of a decline in power usage we had due to the recession. In fact, I just heard yesterday, and I have no reason to doubt it, that for the first time in U.S. history, basically, since electricity came onto the grid, we had 2 consecutive years of declining use for energy. Now, that appears to be turning around, but it shows you how severe the recession was.
You know, Dave, one of the things I might add is just in the last couple of weeks, Iberdrola, which is a large developer that has a project in North Dakota, did announce that they were going to be scaling back some of their development projects. At the same time, I think you'll see at least some steady development in North Dakota, because take the Bison projects as an example. Minnesota Power has a need in Minnesota based on, of course, Minnesota mandates, and they have quite a large investment in North Dakota already. And you know all about that Minnesota Power, Minn Kota transmission swap. It's going to demand sort of a steady growth, I think, in terms of their needs in Minnesota. So we're fortunate to have some projects that I think will just continue to move forward. Maricourt is another one of those, because the utility, XL Energy, needs that power to meet demands in Minnesota. So that need will always sort of be there. The bigger projects, the bigger, if you will, grid projects, as you put it, or the larger wholesale developers, you might see a little bit of a slowing down, but it's all there. I think it's encouraging that people are still announcing projects. They're still going ahead with siting some projects, even if they may not build them this year or right away, that they still see some demand in the horizon. Now, some of that will be driven by the fact that the current production tax credit ends at the end of 2012. That means that there'll be a lot on Congress's plate as well, as we look forward and see what role politics will play in future policy as it relates to development.
Any other questions? All right, hearing none. We can close the regular portion of the agenda. What I might suggest is moving right to admin. I have to admit, in about 10 minutes, I need to catch a cab to go up to Capitol Hill for some meetings, and so it would be good for me if we're able to push forward through the administrative portion of the agenda. Is there any objection to that?
Nope.